For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, The Word of Faith, as we pick up in Acts chapter 9, verse 33. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Peter decided to go around and to visit the various pockets of believers that had sprung out throughout Judea and over towards the coast, the area of Lydda, which is the present city of Lod, where the Ben-Gurion airport is the area where Peter went to visit the Christians there. And he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had been in his bed, had been confined to the bed for 8 years, and he was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Arise, make your bed. And he arose immediately. And all of those that dwelt at Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Peter spoke to him the word of faith. And there is power in the spoken word of faith. It's important that we find the balance. There are those who take this teaching and they carry it to extremes, as they would elevate man to the position of sovereignty. You can have anything you want. All you have to do is to speak it. And they speak of the rhema, the spoken word, and the creative power of the spoken word. And so you speak by faith whatever you want. I want to be a millionaire, you know. I want to drive a Mercedes. I want to have a home on Lido Island. I want, and they tell you to speak the words of faith. Visualize what you desire. Visualize yourself driving that little Porsche. See yourself scooting in and out of traffic. Visualize it. And then, you know, you're putting these creative forces to work. And you can have whatever you want. Did not God say, command ye me the works of my hands? And they talk about speaking the word of faith and the visualizing of the things that you want. This is metaphysics. You'll find the same things in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, or The 13 Richest Men in Babylon. It's a part of metaphysics. And it is something that is, there is creative power in the subconscious. And so by visualizing and by putting up your goals and by declaring your goals over and over, you're planting these things in the area of the subconscious, and the subconscious begins then to develop schemes and devise methods whereby these things might become a reality, and you're using the vast power of the subconscious. Of course, the spiritual writers say you're using the vast power of the spirit, the fourth dimension, and you're putting that power to work, but it works without the Spirit. It works for men of the world who want to follow these principles. And you'll find many, many men who will testify that their tremendous success in business and all is attributable to Napoleon Hill's concepts in metaphysics in Think and Grow Rich. Same principles exactly. Now, because of that, there is a tendency for us to have a backlash against that. Because it is such dangerous heresy, we are prone to back away, and that's wrong, but we're prone to back away from what God is wanting to do, and from stepping out in faith, and from declaring a word of faith. Now, I am certain that before Peter said this to Aeneas, that the Lord spoke to Peter's heart to say it. You remember when Paul was at Lystra, he perceived that this lame man over here had the faith to be healed. And he said, "Brother, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Stand up and walk." And the man who was lame for 40 years stood up and walked because Paul spoke the word of faith to him. But before Paul spoke the word of faith, the Spirit had already revealed to Paul what the Spirit was wanting to do. I do not direct the works of God, nor should I ever seek to be in that position of directing God's works. They are God's works. They always begin with Him. It is important that I recognize what God is doing. It is important that I recognize the work of God. And herein is the real key. And so, yes, there may be times when the Lord would have us to speak a word of faith to someone and have them act upon that word of faith. Jesus often did that. Be strong. And I'd like to speak that word of faith to you tonight. Be delivered. Be set free. Live a life of victory in Jesus. Now you can take those as words of faith and you say, "Yes, Lord, I will be strong. Yes, Lord, I will have victory. Yes, Lord, I will stop it." And they can be a word of faith that you will act upon and you will find victory. You'll find strength. You'll find God working in a dynamic way within your life. The work of God will be done. And the word of faith is important. It's wrong, though, to carry it to the extremes that these men carry it to today. So that's the balance. And so often, because we are striking for the balance, when we speak out against some of the fanaticism that oftentimes accompanies these things, people will then say, "Oh, well, Chuck said that's wrong and we shouldn't do that." But yet there is the balance there. And it is important that we maintain the balance. Yes, God does work today. Yes, God will work today. Yes, there is power through faith. Yes, we can see the work of God accomplished in the lives of people. And yes, we can speak the word of faith to them. And it's important that we do. But it's also important that we don't become extremist and just go around and try to run the universe like suddenly I've found a new dimension of power and now I'm in control and now this is the way I want things done. God, over there, quick. You know, and I take away from that sovereignty and that sovereign work of God by I'm in command now and I'm going to demand what's going on. It's so easy to get on power trips. And you've got to be careful about that because there is something within us that likes power. And I like to feel that sense of power and all. And it's so easy to get exalted on a power trip. I was reading where the god Thor, that Norse god, when he first discovered his power, was so excited. He just jumped on his horse and he began to ride across the skies on his horse, pointing down at the earth because as he pointed, he could cause the lightning to come off the end of his finger and flash across the earth. And he had discovered this great power he had of casting these thunderbolts and these flashes of lightning. And so he was just riding all over the earth, throwing down the thunderbolts, causing the flashes of lightning. And he spent the whole day riding his horse through the skies, throwing the thunderbolts all over the world. And as he got back to the North Country, with this sense of power, he cried, "I'm Thor!" And his horse turned around and said, "Well, why didn't you use a thaddle, filly?" So be careful of the power trips. Peter did speak the word of faith, and we can speak the word of faith, and we can see the power of speaking the word of faith. There is a legitimate concept here that we can use. We just shouldn't take it to extremes. So, as a result of the healing of Aeneas, people all over the area, the Sharon Valley there. In seeing this man who had been infirm for 8 years healed, they believed and turned to the Lord. Now, in Joppa, about 8 miles away from Lydda, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. The name means a gazelle, graceful, beautiful. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and she died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And inasmuch as Lydda was near to Joppa, only 8 miles, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all of the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. And so here she was making things for the poor, a very marvelous, beautiful woman. But Peter put them all forth. Now, he probably took a page out of the life of Jesus, for he was there when Jairus had come to Jesus concerning his daughter. And as Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, the servants came and said, "Don't trouble the master any further. Your daughter is dead." And so Jesus said to him, "Don't be afraid. Don't panic. She's only sleeping." And so when they came to the house, all of the mourners were already gathered. And they were wailing and mourning over the death of this little 12-year-old girl, the daughter of Jairus. And Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's only asleep." And they laughed him to scorn. They mocked him. And so he put them all forth. He said, "Get out." And he brought in Peter and John, the inner circle. And then he said unto her, "Talitha, little girl, arise." And she sat up and looked around. And Jesus took her by the hand and led her out to the parents and said, might give her something to eat. But Peter had seen the Lord put away those of unbelief and doubt. And so Peter, because these people were all just, though they were perhaps Christians, they were yet just all into the mourning over her death. Look at the beautiful things she made. Oh, she was such a wonderful person. Peter just put them forth. Probably also what he was going to do was so bizarre that he, in case nothing happened, he didn't want to be embarrassed. I would have done that. So Peter put them all forth, and he kneeled down and he prayed. And turning to the body, he said, "Tabitha, kumi." Now, he called her by her name, Tabitha. And it's, notice how close it is to what Jesus called the little girl, Talitha, little girl, Tabitha, gazelle, kumi, arise. Now, he's talking to a dead person, a corpse that is there. And that is rather bizarre, talking to a corpse. But he knelt down and prayed, and then he turned and said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and he lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, he presented her alive. And it was known throughout all of Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried there for many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now we are reminded of the words in Jesus in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, when he said to his disciples, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And if ye shall ask the Father anything in my name, I will do it, that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So here is Peter doing the same kind of works that Jesus did. And here is a notable, remarkable miracle of the raising from the dead of this blessed saint there in the church in Joppa, Dorcas, who God brought back from death. So we see the power still existing there in the early church. And that is, of course, one of the marks of the early church, that dynamic power of the Holy Spirit working in and through the church. Should we assume that God no longer works in such dynamic ways? I think that it is wrong to make that assumption. I think that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I do not believe that we should fault God for the lack of power in the church. I think that we should fault the church, fault ourselves. I believe that this power is still available today. I believe in the power of God to change lives, to transform lives, to turn people around 180 degrees. I believe in the power of God to raise people out of beds of infirmity, to deliver people from the bondage of things that are destroying them, setting people free. I believe in the power of God to raise the dead. I do not believe that there is any lack with God or with God's ability or even with God's desire to manifest himself. I do feel that the lack is on our side. And I think that as much as anything else, it is the lack of being able to handle all of the notoriety and attention that would be drawn to the person who had this kind of power. I am certain that I could not personally deal with that kind of power and notoriety that would arise from it. I do not trust myself. I'm afraid that I would be lifted up with pride. I'm afraid that I would go out advertising great miracle campaigns and would, you know, just not be able to really handle all that would result from having that kind of a ministry. Now, there were years when I fasted and prayed for this kind of power. And I desired to experience this kind of power. And the Lord finally spoke to my heart and said, I have given you the more excellent way, the path of love. And I ceased praying for the power for miracles. Now, I have seen miracles. And who can doubt but what the power of God in changing a person's life, turning him around, is not really the most desirable and greatest miracle that we can see. It would be much better that a person's life be transformed by the power of the Spirit of God from the bondage of sin into a new life in Christ. That is a more important miracle than, say, raising the dead, if that person, when he was raised from the dead, would live a wicked life and die in sin. Or if through that miracle, you know, you'd be lifted up with so much pride that you would become useless to God. So, God's hand is not short, but we just see today more sham than reality in the miracle services. And those who are professing to have the power are men that I wouldn't trust many times behind my back. I know them. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't seek or desire it still. I don't desire it for myself anymore because God spoke to me about it. But that doesn't mean that maybe God has so worked in your life that he could use you in this way. And if so, I would praise God for it, and I would rejoice in the work that God would do through your life. I don't want to be in the position of limiting God, and I don't think that that should ever be our position. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Acts on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Acts 9. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Father, we thank you tonight for the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for true demonstrations of that power. Touch lives, anoint lives, and use them, Father, to display your glory through the world. Lord, we offer ourselves to you such as we are tonight. As Paul, we would ask, what would you have us to do, Lord? And we make ourselves available unto you for whatever you might have in mind. Whatever purpose you would have us to fulfill. Lord, you've apprehended us. And when you did, you had in mind a purpose for apprehending us. Help us, Lord, that we might seek to accomplish and to apprehend that for which we were apprehended. So guide us, use us, and through us, Lord, bring glory to thy name. And we thank you.
We say that love makes the world go round, that love is the answer, that all you need is love. You might even say we glory in the power of love. But what is love? If it's so popular, then why does it seem so hard to find? Author and pastor Chuck Smith has spent a lifetime not only pondering the nature of genuine love, but also learning through experience what true love is, what it does, and how it transforms everything it touches. In this rich, encouraging, and deeply practical book, he describes how every one of us can come to experience and share the kind of world-changing love that continuously pours from the very heart of God, the original lover himself. You can order this book at twft.com or by calling 1-800-272-9673. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of
program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.